This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Bringing facts into the conversation, Bart Scott. But it's been a really interesting debate already. And remember, the parameters are this. When we talk about quarterback wide receiver duos, we mean as a duo. So you can't say, well, he's a better wide receiver than that guy. It doesn't matter.
It's the two of them together. Travis Kelce then. Okay, I got you.
You could put that on the, you could definitely put that on the list, 100%. And we're only talking about these first 2 weeks because what we saw last night, you want to call me a prisoner of the moment, lock me up and throw away the key. I am. But I don't mind because of what I saw these first 2 weeks, especially last night, and these two guys, and what Josh Allen, how he's gushing about him, because I also think the chemistry is a big part of this as well. And I just say, boy, I'll tell you what, there's not, it'd be hard to find a better duo right now in the league than these two guys. That's the conversation. That's the debate. That's what we're doing on this show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are Barton Hahn. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And we'd like you to try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G and America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Tom Brady, Bart, despite the win for the Bucs and his rare regular season, or maybe he never had one before, regular season win over the Saints, their offense did not look good. He looked like he was frustrated.
Yeah.
To a point where you just saw him doing that old Tom Brady screaming at teammates.
Psycho Tom.
Right.
He gets a pass.
Throwing the tablet. I want to get into that. Throwing the tablet and everything else. Here's Brady on his Let's Go podcast talking about with Jim Gray here on that whole throwing the tablet scenario.
You know, I forgot the password and I couldn't log in, so those things can be frustrating as we realize with time. So I'm trying to make sure I don't throw my arm out when I throw it, but I was pretty pissed yesterday. You know, I got to get the perfect tablet slam, which I haven't got yet. So tune in next week to see if it happens.
Making a joke of it, yes. But as they went deeper into the conversation, we don't have audio of it, but I do have a transcript. Because he explained why he gets so angry to a point where he's throwing things and screaming. And he said, you know, we weren't executing very well. And I think that's been something that's come up with the Saints now. The last four regular season games against them, we just have not found a way to get out of our own way. There's too many unforced errors. There's too many plays where we have the opportunity to do the right thing and make the play, and we don't. Missing passes, not coming up with balls that we're capable of, missing things that we just shouldn't miss. And I think those things come to a head, and we're out there fighting, and there's a lot on the line for all of us, and physically it's a challenge. It's a battle out there, especially against good teams. We didn't score any points in the first half. That's exhausting. It's not going to be good enough to beat anybody. So I think the sense of urgency is very important. And at the same time, and here's where this is the key part of this, at the same time, remaining poised is really important too, which I didn't do a very good job of that yesterday. I've got to be really mindful of that going forward and getting my emotions in a good place so it allows me to be the best player I can be. I think there's an importance where you can become too overly emotional, which I definitely think I was yesterday. I've got to find a better place to be at so I can be at a better place for my teammates.
You know, when I get emotional, when, like, I go to work and maybe I'm pissed off at the kids or something happened at home, then I come in and I have a short temper and I have a short leash. So I wonder if sometimes, you know, some of the outside stuff going on is affecting him on the field because he's short-tempered, right? And he doesn't feel like putting up with it and having the patience because his life isn't in a good vibe and a good flow.
It's funny you say that, but I mean, hasn't he always been like this though in his career? Like you call
him Psycho Tom. But listen, not this early in the season. We haven't seen him like this early in the season, right? Like usually this happens. Like remember, his first year, he forgot it was fourth down. Yeah. On Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it seems like listen, we've all been there. We've all kind of had a short temper, and we had to go apologize to people. Like, listen, my bad. I'm kind of tripping. Right. You know, I got some stuff going on and, you know, I let it seep in here. But now, that's a legitimate thing that you can probably ask as well.
Let me ask you this, though, as a player. To see a guy of that stature. See, I look at it like this. I've never really had a problem with someone showing emotion. Right. I actually appreciated a lot of times, because I feel like it shows me you care. It shows me that you're engaged and that you're invested, and I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
But there's also a point where you go, wait a minute, though. You're Tom Brady. Like, I can't imagine that there might be players that, whether it was 10 years ago and he's flipping out on the sideline, he's getting into players' faces, you could say, all right, wow, he's really fired up.
Yeah, well,
but now, after everything, and you're 45 years old, there does come a point where it's like, are you getting unhinged?
Like, yeah,
because we need you to be cool. Like, I can get frustrated because I haven't done a damn thing. I need you in these moments to stay cool, man. And I think he's got to realize that he's getting too old.
Yeah.
To act like this on the sidelines. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, he's the reason that Mike Evans is suspended, because he was defending him, because he came at Tom Brady. How dare somebody speak at Tom Brady like that? Well, Tom Brady instigated. Tom Brady came out and said something to Lattimore because he was saying something to Bruce Arians. He came to talk that talk, but he stopped short of keep walking. He waited till other people step in between him. So, I mean,
that did happen. Yeah, that did happen. Players stood up for him, and they did. And actually, Brady did talk about that as well on the podcast.
I don't think it deserved any type of suspension. I think that's ridiculous. Hopefully we can move past it, get to a better place. And, you know, in the end, I appreciate Mike having my back. I know he'll learn from it. And he knows that we all have his back.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's because he's incapable of having his own back. You know, but he's full of crap. Like, Mike Evans has a history of this. He ran and got – listen – same thing happened to where Jokic hit Markieff Morris. He came with a veracity from a player that couldn't see him. The second time he's blindsided Lattimore when his back was turned to him, and he ran for like 5 yards. 5 yards, right? So you talk about how the acceleration from a 220-pound receiver putting his forearms and shooting somebody, he could have gained whiplash, he could have hurt his neck, he could have did all kind of stuff. You gotta reprimand him for that type of stuff. What do you mean it didn't warrant a suspension? Come on, man. What are we looking at, Tom Brady? If somebody would have came and hit Tom Brady in the back like that, running 5 yards, then I wonder how Brady would have felt.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what, though? I will say this. Now, you know I love you, but I'm surprised that you have that take, because you come off as somebody that feels like, hey, life is altercation, right?
I'm all for the altercation when I see you and you see me. Don't be a coward and hit me in the back while I'm looking at and arguing with Leonard Fournette. Don't be a tough guy that way. Be a tough guy when I see you. If we want to square up, we can square up. We can go in the back. I can appreciate it if they would have got there and got into some Andre Rison, Deion Sanders, when they just going blow for blow, punching each other in the face while they both can see it. But it take a real coward to do this, not once, but twice, run up because somebody got your number and he's your kryptonite, and now you're frustrated. Now he talking. Now you want to be tough guy when somebody back to her, man. Quit acting like Chico DeBarge, man. You're acting real light skin right now, bro.
So you believe then that a one-game suspension for Mike Evans is definitely warranted in this situation, considering that, again, you look at it
the second time he's done that to the same person.
Right. A couple of years ago, he did the same thing.
If you want to control this for us playing the next time, and me just standing across from him and hitting him with that Andre Johnson versus Courtland Finnegan, where I pull his helmet off and I hit him with 25 to the face, because it's going to get personal now, because now he's doing stuff that ain't got nothing to do with football. You cheap shot me now, bro. And listen, for everybody to say, oh, well, this just on this football beef. Nope. I remember quite vividly when I got the text, yo, Joey Porter just beat the hell out of Levi Brown at the blackjack table in Vegas. Like, it's getting to that point where you're going to have to see me for real. If you don't want it, so like the NFL better get control of it. Because if you don't get control of it, I'll get control of it.
Yeah, these two
everybody
teams
play
the
tough.
Division, we'll
to,
play again.
Everybody play tough until it's time to be tough in real life. When we say forget the football stuff, let's go man to man. Let's see what's up.
Right, and again, these two teams have to still see each other one more time at the very least later on this season. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
This is what we came for.
Let's have one more look at the play of the week. Brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink.
Hurts keeps around the edge and bends it back down. Fighting for the end zone. What a run. Touchdown, Philadelphia. Second of the night for Hurts.
Gear up this fall with Body Armor Sports Drink. More than a sports drink.
Man, what a performance by Jalen Hurts. 333 yards in the air. Another 57 on the ground, including two touchdowns Also had a touchdown pass as well. Phenomenal performance. Got everybody putting three letters in front of his name right now. That would be MVP.
Oh.
Dan Graziano is one of our MVPs here at ESPN, and he joins us right now.
That's
Dan,
nice.
I figured we'd welcome you in the proper way because you really are jack of all trades and certainly well plugged in when it comes to all things NFL. And we were just talking about something. I'm not sure if you caught it, but it was before we got into the Mike Evans stuff of the Tom Brady conversation. But it was more of Brady and getting unhinged on the sidelines, which I guess is nothing new. We've seen it throughout his career. But at the age of 45, like all the things he's accomplished and still having that unhinged kind of presence about him when things aren't going his way. Bart brings up something interesting. Is it because of what's going on off the field with him that could affect him? What are you seeing in Tampa with Tom Brady so far 2 weeks in?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that as a theory. We don't know for a fact. We do know by his own admission he's got a lot of stuff going on, so it's possible. But honestly, I think this is about, like he looked at that tablet, and he's looking for Godwin or Gronk or Julio. I mean, none of those guys are there. So, and now he's not going to have Mike Evans this week. Like, I just think it's frustrating that what's going on in the field. I mean, his left tackle wasn't there. Mm-hmm. The entire middle of the offensive line has kind of been overdone and overhauled, and some of us still injured. So I think it's frustration about the situation. Like, you know, I think he feels like he can play. And I think you see some throws that indicate as much. But, I mean, it's almost like, I mean, what Aaron Rodgers is dealing with in Green Bay is not exactly the same. That's more about how the wide receiver group's coming together and having to be patient while that happens. But this is like, I know eventually all these guys are going to be back, or most of them. But it's frustrating to have to operate in the meantime at something less than full strength.
Oddly enough, I mean, we have some interesting games. I don't know how the NFL... How they do it, man. But
it's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, you talk about the greatest games and the greatest matchups. I mean, we were treated to another scintillating week of football. And then just looking at week three, just off the cuff, we got Buffalo versus Miami. Yeah. We also got Green Bay versus Tampa. So you look at that matchup. You got two guys that are considered a guy who are force multipliers, perennial MVP contenders facing each other. And have to both fight left-handed. I wonder who comes unhinged first. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Like which side's tablets are in the most trouble? Yeah.
Exactly. But I kind of want to go back to, like, because, we gave Tua a lot of criticism this offseason. And, we were laughing about the pretty balls and most accurate quarterback you ever played with. But, hey, the numbers don't lie so far in week two. Can Jalen Hurts or Tua Tagovailoa solidify this their franchise quarterback in the next couple of weeks, and they start considering maybe locking those guys. Well, they can't lock Tua, but see them as the future and not worry about the extra first round draft picks that they have.
Yeah, I mean, look, it can happen this season, right? I mean, you don't have to make a decision about next year's draft until after the season. So there's no, I mean, it's not like, at the midway point, the Eagles are going to say, that's it, we're not looking to draft a quarterback. They may internally begin to think that way. And it's certainly possible that Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa, if they continue to perform at this level, will make that decision easy for those teams. That I think is what both teams are hoping for, right? Even if there was internal doubt, even if there are, I don't want to say internal doubt, like writ large. I mean, like, even if there were people inside that weren't sold on Jalen Hurts with the Eagles or on Tua with the Dolphins, they would love to be proven wrong, right? Because you hate to have to go out and look for a quarterback. Even if it's supposed to be a good quarterback draft, like, you still don't know. But if you have a guy who's proving it at the NFL level, then that's the ideal situation. You use those draft picks on people to help him. So, yeah, those guys are both in position to do that. The groups around them are excellent, and I don't see any reason to think those Dolphin receivers aren't going to keep getting open, and the Eagles have a whole lot of places Jalen Hurts can go when he drops back to throw the ball. So, yeah, they're both set up pretty well, I think.
Dan, would you say that, I know we're only 2 weeks in, but I love to overreact, so would you say that if it Hurts has probably solidified himself more than Tua has, right? Like, as far as if there was a franchise to say, now we got our guy, Would you say it's more Hurts than it is Tua at this point?
Yeah, because it's his second year with the coaching staff, right? Whereas Tua is sort of proving himself to a new group. And to that group's credit, they've done a lot to show support for him and to build up his confidence and to make him feel like, hey, this you're the guy. Go out and do it. Don't worry about the future. Jalen Hurts is in his second year with this coaching staff. They've been able to put their imprint on his development. They've all kind of grown together. So, yeah, he's got probably more roots down with the people making the decision. But, again, both in a really good spot. If they could, look, I don't know what's going to happen. The Dolphins, there's a decent chance the Dolphins get smoked this week. They're playing the Bills, and it's possible the Bills are just about to rampage through the entire league for 4 or 5 months and make everybody look bad. That's a conceivable outcome. But you know, as long as it's possible to do what the Dolphins did in the fourth quarter the other day against what we thought was a good defense, that's going to be, that's going to be something they have to look at when they're making their decisions this offseason.
For three quarters, there was some doubt, but I guess that fourth quarter changed everything. We're talking with Dan Graziano at Spartan Han, ESPN Radio. You covered the Giants for a while, so I really would be interested to hear your reaction to what we've seen so far with Brian Daboll now out at the helm. My take out of this so far is it's the most organized they have looked in years. Would you say that just that's the simple impact? Is that they are just organized? They're certainly not more talented than they've been the last couple of years, but they just seem more organized.
I think that's probably fair. Daboll seems to have taken charge. I think giving the defense to Wink Martindale and letting him just kind of do it was a great move, and that's obviously have a great deal of competence there. On that side of the ball, and that's really helped them as they try and put this offense together. I don't know what they're going to end up having at wide receiver and tight end, and there's a lot of unknowns in that group, and they can lean on Saquon to a certain extent. The offensive line's getting better, but yeah, what you want in a head coach is like a well-articulated and well-defined vision for how things are supposed to work, and Daboll seems to be a guy that can that can deliver that. So far, right? And I'm talking about throughout the offseason, obviously very early in the season. So, you see it with new coaches. Like, the operation in Denver looks like a mess, right? Oh, yeah. Like, is Nathaniel Hackett maybe a little more overwhelmed at the start than say, Daboll, than, say, Mike McDaniel? We'll see how time bears this out. It is only 2 weeks. But if I'm a Giants fan, if I were a Giants fan, I understand the last few years have been rough and you're not inclined toward optimism, but I would be enjoying this a lot because it's there haven't been a lot of times in the last 5, 6 years when you felt like you could feel good about your team, and right now definitely stands out as one of them.
Now, you've been around this team, you kind of understand how this organization operates. What type of season does Saquon Barkley have? To warrant the Giants to say, okay, I'm willing to give him an Alvin Kamara type of deal? Or will Saquon, have to become like a Aaron Jones type of $12 million a year? Or is he capable of, because we know they have salary cap issues and they may not have a quarterback for the future. Is it anything that Saquon can do that, or what do you think Saquon has to do to get that mega deal? Or is it just, water under the bridge at this point?
First and foremost, he has to stay healthy. I mean, that is really the key for Saquon. When he's been on the field, he's been somebody that is awfully impressive and that at one point in their history convinced the Giants, we can trade Odell Beckham, we can build around Saquon Barkley. So whether it is for the Giants or for some other interested team, Saquon Barkley, if he stays healthy, plays all 17 games, plays at a high level, he's going to be the apple of someone's eye on the free agent market, whether it's the Giants or otherwise. Now, I can't speak to what the Giants will do. This is not the front office or coaching staff that drafted Saquon Barkley. They may just put a different value on the position, right? You look, they come from Buffalo. They're not paying high-end money to running backs up there. They're mixing it up and matching it together with different guys. They may prefer to operate like that. They may not, but it is probably fair to assume. If they are looking for a quarterback, what's that going to cost in terms of against the salary cap, in terms of draft picks? There's a puzzle the Giants are going to have to put together. So I don't think it's as simple as saying if Saquon has a big year, they'll definitely bring him back, because I think there's a lot of moving parts to that. But first and foremost, if Saquon wants a long-term deal from the Giants or anyone else, it really is about staying on the field.
Yeah, the health, the availability, the most important part. Dan, one of my favorite things that you do each week is the overreaction stuff. We do it on our show as well. We get all these calls, fans overreacting to just one game and what it means for their team and all that stuff. But I want to ask you, because we started the show off and Bart really like disagreed with me, so I almost need you to break the tie. Is this an overreaction that so far 2 weeks into the season, and just this season, 2 weeks in, that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs are the best quarterback wide receiver duo in the league?
Oh, I don't think that's an overreaction. I mean, the numbers would tell you what Tua and Jalen Waddle, right? Like those are in terms of just the overall numbers they put up through 2 weeks.
Yes,
but obviously, I think when you factor in the history and what we've seen with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, it's easier to buy into that. Yeah, look, the connection, the chemistry is wonderful. And it's been a great match, a great move by Buffalo to bring Diggs in a couple years ago. It's kind of helped take Allen to the next level. We were talking, kicking notes around before Get Up last night and this morning, and one of the questions I had was, could A.J. Brown be to Jalen Hurts what wow. Stephon Diggs was to Josh Allen, right? I mean, that's not inconceivable. If he turns out to be a real number one that they think he is there in Philly, could be a big part of the development of the young quarterback into something special.
Yeah, it's become that topic this offseason, all these different duos. And so far what we're seeing is some names that we weren't expecting to see. Dan, always great to talk to you. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
All right, Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, with some great stuff as always. Coming up, more great stuff for you as we challenge Bart to blitz or prevent. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han. It's Alan Han, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, Bart, let's get into it as we do every Tuesday. Now that the week is complete, we have topics to go around the NFL, and we'll decide whether you want to blitz or prevent.
Here we go.
This is Blitz.
Blitz is coming. Sack. Fumble.
Or prevent.
Caught. What a catch.
All right, remember the rules. Blitz means?
I want to talk about it.
And a prevent means?
I'm good.
All right. We begin with this post-game comment. Or was it maybe a practice after practice? Whatever it was. This comment from Justin Fields, the Bears' young quarterback.
It hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in.
So what he's saying is that it hurts more than it does for the fans.
Yeah.
For us to lose. Blitz or prevent. Some people think Justin Fields saying this is a shot at fans.
We've had this age-old debate, man. We go ahead and prevent that one. That's not juicy enough. You got better, Alan. You got better juicy nuggets than that.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think it's a shot at fans at all. I think some people are just looking for drama. And if you don't understand what he's saying, you've never played a sport. Okay, Bart, then how about this? Of the 40 playoff spots that were earned in the NFL over the last three seasons, none of them went to a team that started the year 0-2. 265 teams that started 0-2 since 1990.
Yeah.
Only 11.3% have rebounded to just make the playoffs. and only three of them, that's like 1.1%, went on to win the Super Bowl. The 93 Cowboys, the 01 Patriots, and of course, those 2007 New York Football Giants. The last time an 0-2 team made the postseason was 2018. The Seahawks and the Texans did such, but neither won a playoff game that year. Blitz or prevent, Bart, there's no hope for this year's 0-2 teams that include the Bengals, the Titans, the Raiders, the Panthers, and the Falcons.
Well, we know the Falcons weren't going nowhere anyway. They'll be 0-whatever. It don't matter. The surprising ones is the Raiders and also the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Titans aren't a surprise at 0-2?
I thought they would have it. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, but the thing is, they might be the only team that have an opportunity to come back and win a division because their division stinks. So that's if anybody's going to come back and be able to right the ship, it's going to be them.
All right, so you blitz know, this. You're blitzing
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm going to go ahead and blitz that. I'm going to go ahead and blitz this because I said
there's no hope for any of these five teams.
I'm going to go for the Titans. Now, I think that the Bengals have more issues. The fact that Joe Burrow has no sense of urgency. He's got this whole Joe Cool, which that's Flacco's nickname, but he has this whole Joe Cool type of thing. And in my experience in that division, when it's the Bengals or the Browns, if they have a successful year, they start filling themselves, and they always have a reset year the following year. So I would probably say that they won't make it either because I feel like it's going to be feast or famine. I feel like the Ravens are the best team in that division. So I think the only team that can do it, and I think will do it, is the Titans. I think the Titans win the division because the Colts are awful. Houston isn't ready, and Jacksonville is early in their process.
All right. I agree. And that division, that's what leaves the door open for Tennessee. It's also open for the Colts.
Yeah, they might win 8 games and win the division.
The Colts aren't 0-2. They're 0-1-1, however, so they're just slightly above the Titans. But
about
still,
to be 0-2-1.
And here's Stosh feeling himself, Bart. Here he is feeling himself. Because who do they play? Now all of a sudden, Chiefs Kingdom, everybody hearing from them. All right, we continue with Blitzer Prevent because we're 2 weeks into the season and we have the odds for the NFL MVP. Josh Allen has moved up to plus 450 from 550. Justin Herbert has dropped down. Lamar Jackson has moved up. So we're seeing some movement. How about Tua Tagovailoa going from 40-1 to 18-1? And Joe Burrow went from 16-1 to 25-1. Russell Wilson has fallen from 30-1
take him off
to
the list.
50-1.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been real, Russell, but yeah, nah, this ain't
so it. Here's the thing, though. Blitz or prevent, Jalen Hurts has entered the chat.
Yes, absolutely. Listen,
I'm blitzing this.
Right, this team should win 12 games, and I think they sweep their division. I think they sweep their division.
So they beat everybody.
Yes.
6 wins.
Yes, I think they
six
beat
and
their,
zero.
Yeah, I think they beat their division. And so
wow.
I think they're going to be like probably the second seed in the NFC. And if they do that, it's going to be because Jalen Hurts is putting up fantasy owners who own Jalen Hurts love him.
Oh yeah.
Because he's putting up yards not since Michael Vick has a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Put up a 300-yard passing performance and a 2-touchdown rushing day. Not since Michael Vick. And he's capable of doing this. At least he may lead the league in rushing touchdowns. Because when you get down to the red zone, you don't worry about giving it to a running back. He is your running back. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy, if you get inside the 4 or 5, he's a guy that's going to get it.
It's going to be him, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
Yes, because Lamar Jackson looks amazing. And they're dynamic. They're going to have dynamic plays, and it's going to be crazy.
So Lamar already is an MVP, so he's always going to be in the MVP conversation. Josh Allen is a guy I think we all feel like is the. Would you say 2 weeks in
the stars are aligned for him going in. The hype is right around the team.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like it's his to lose.
It's his to lose. But Jalen
Hurts running around like he's running around. He take them real hits.
Yeah, but Jalen Hurts, you're saying, is someone that is not really on the big board right now as an MVP.
Matter of fact, Allen, after the show, we're going to go ahead and put some money on him.
On Josh Allen?
No, on Jalen Hurts.
On Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
See, I think so. Because that's someone that
we can make
like
a lot of
said,
money.
The numbers that he's putting up, and the way he's playing and the comfort he has in this system. And I'm going to add this part,
too.
The
weak division.
Yes. The division, like you mentioned, is not solid. It's not strong. We don't know what the Cowboys are going to be. And then all of that on top of the fact that he has a really good line and a group that around him that they really are invested in his success.
And a great defense.
There is a good chance that we could see if things, of course, hold. But so far, so good. That's Blitzer Prevent. It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm sorry?
Jameis still in it, too.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Did you see that he said that he's got like a back issue?
No, he has four fractures in his back, and people talk stuff about him throwing three interceptions. What quarterback is playing with three fractures in his damn back? Come on, man.
I would say none. Why is he playing with fractures in his back?
Because he's a tough SOB, man.
Remember what he said when they asked, well, where did it hurt?
Everywhere. He wasn't lying.
No, he wasn't.
Meanwhile, Herbert, we giving him heroics because he playing with a sprained cartilage. He ain't got four vertebrae. It's like Mike Tyson. I broke my back. What did you do? How you know, Mike? It's spinal. That's what Jameis should say. I broke my back.
It's spinal. We have more of your calls coming up and more madness as well. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
I love the baby, like, little drop in here. Right? It's, like, so subtle. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's take Andrew in New York. What's up, Andrew?
Well, I mean, before I get into my question, who do you got, Timbaland or Pharrell, as a better producer? Because that's my favorite Timbaland beat that just played. That
Timbaland or really Pharrell? I mean, with Timbaland, Timbaland's responsible. They're all from Virginia. Timbaland.
Yeah.
Man, Timbaland's different, man. With the whole thing with Missy Elliott and yep. Nah, I got to go with Timbaland.
All right. Yeah, I respect that. So, Bart, at first I really wasn't buying it with Stafford and Kupp, but I think you convinced me, and, you know, for that reason, I really do think, you know, Trent Dilfer and Quadre Ismail, I would say they're probably a better duo than Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. You know, they got a championship, so
No, man. Quadre, I love the missile, right? His brother was the Rocket.
The Rocket.
I love the missile, but come on, man. No, Quadre was okay. He was a vertical threat. No, Cooper Kupp led the league with 18. He almost got to 2,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he wrecked the Super Bowl single-handedly. Yes. We talk about what Aaron Donald did. He did the same thing.
Uh-huh. I mean, he was the only available target, and yet he was always open somehow, some way. That just says so much about Cooper Kupp. Let's continue. Let's see. We have who's been waiting a while? I want to make sure we get those guys first. Tim's in Florida. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's Allen Diggs, hands down. Stafford and Kupp are right behind him. Hurts, he's proven it. He's coming up. I'll give him and Brown a shot at it with Cousins and Jefferson. They're nipping at their heels. I mean, but that guy throwing Dilfer in there kind of threw me off. I also wanted to mention that Bart Stardamus was
wrong about my Dallas Cowboys. They're not barbecue.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. That train is never late. Like, they just denied the elbow. Because let's just say, okay, we didn't know the Bengals were that bad, but then we didn't know that the Giants were this good. So if they lose this week, you'll be crying again, and it'll just be like it never happened.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. But it is funny. Barshadamas, I got to admit, didn't have a great week.
I got the Browns. Listen, the Browns-Jets erases everything that Barshadamas said.
Yeah, it did help Barshadamas. But tomorrow, Barshadamas is going to have a big comeback. All ears will be listening to that. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
I remember mine.
Yeah.
Let me see low.
In so much space. We're all crazy in some way.
So drive me crazy.
It's Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. So week two power rankings from ESPN are out. Where's your team going to be? Are there any changes at the top? We'll get to all that, of course, coming up. The 2-0 teams and who we think are the contenders and the pretenders. The Mets make the playoffs, Bart. Time to celebrate, of course. The Dodgers is just dominant, and Kershaw's back, and he looks good. Are they the favorites? You've got the Astros winning that division once again, but can the Mariners be their kryptonite when they meet in the playoffs? And then there's the Yankees, waiting on Aaron Judge, getting closer to history, and can the Yankees just get healthy?
Watch no Apple TV. Coming soon.
And that disaster wait as well. And by the way, Bart, just throwing it out there, a week from today, all training camps will be open in the NBA. Yeah, man.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, man. No, not Donovan
Cleveland
Mitchell.
Cavaliers.
I don't know who that
legitimate
is.
Legitimate threat.
Never
top
heard of him.
Five, dead or alive.
Never heard of him. 888-SAY-ESPN,
888-729-3776.
You know, every time they post pictures of, like, him wearing Cavs stuff and all this, like, happy joy, I'm like, man, I can't watch this. Like, I ain't looking at this. Like, unfollow, block,
you got to see him so much more because he's an Eastern Conference.
Yeah. It's
so you're going to hear about what he did, what the Cavs are doing.
Yay, look at him. Yay, it's so
– you're going to be watching. It's like when somebody get caught. It's like when somebody get caught like on your timeline and they try not to look at you on the timeline because they're supposed to hate you.
That's what it is. It's like legit just I'd rather not know. Block, mute, unfollow. Let's continue with the calls. We've got Anthony on the island, Long Island. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you guys doing?
Good.
What up?
All right, Bart, by the way, 2010, man, memories of a lifetime. Thanks, brother.
My pleasure.
So we're talking about, elite receivers, and I'm kind of curious where you guys think 2-3 years from now where Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore will be.
Oh, man, I tell you what, hopefully Zach Wilson is the guy.
Can I give the answer? Yes, what you just said. Anthony, I think it's really where will Zach Wilson be?
Yeah.
Because that'll decide it, because those two guys are legit.
I think Garrett Wilson this year goes over 1,000. I'm giving him 1,100.
Wow,
I'm giving Elijah Moore like 800.
Who's the last rookie wide receiver for the Jets to have over 1,000 yards?
Rookie, receiving? Nobody.
Yeah, rookie.
I don't give you Al Toon. Nobody. I don't think nobody went for 1,000. Keyshawn did. Maybe Keyshawn. Did Keyshawn go for it?
You realize how bad they were in his rookie year?
Yeah, he probably not. Yeah, that's true.
I can't imagine. See, I got to look that up because that's an interesting one, man. But yeah, it's a great.
I
it's
think
a great
a better question,
question because
is when it was the Jets last. Outside of Brandon Marshall, when was their last 1,000-yard receiver? What, Braylon Edwards? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it could have been Braylon.
Yeah,
right. It could. But it
San
wasn't.
Antonio
Holmes. Yeah, yeah. I want to look that one up. Mike's Malik is in Florida. Malik.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
First time caller, love the show.
Thank you.
Right, quick to Bart. Hey. You play for the Jets. That's like my worst team in the NFL.
Oh wow!
But strictly by the numbers, hands down, it's Tua and Hill. And if you bear with me a little bit, I'll give you my numbers. Diggs has been in the league since he was with Minnesota. He's played 26 games with Buffalo. Tyreek Hill has played only 2 games with Miami. And as a starter, Tua has only started in the NFL 25 games. And what Tua has done...
Go ahead. Yes. No, no. The reason why I'm cutting you off is only because the criteria of what we were talking about was only about these first 2 weeks. Because I understand you could definitely make the case for different players, different duos even. Like, that's why Stafford and Kupp, like, I think are the best. Right? If you wanted to add Kelce and Mahomes, obviously, like, those two, because they've accomplished so much more. But I'm just saying 2 weeks in, these two guys, these first 2 weeks. So I'm just saying just in the vacuum of this season, I just look at those two as they just look like they're at the very top. But Malik's right about Tua and Tyreek because they don't have a lot of experience together, and yet they have been fantastic. Like, that's the thing. They have been fantastic.
And a lot of teams
and this week's going to be
starts.
A huge test because they go head-to-head, and that part I certainly love that. Morris wanted me to read this on the air, so I will. He said, I hear excuses for other quarterbacks about missing wide receivers. Keep it real. Russell Wilson, has a number one receiver, then drops to 5, 6, and 7. Judy, Patrick, Hamler out. Sutton balled out, 7 for 122 alone.
Sutton's a beast.
It's a lot of stuff here.
He got a lot. Yeah.
So he's.
I know you're talking about Russell Wilson.
Mark's trying to make the case for Russell Wilson.
No, hell no. Don't even.
They got to get a coach.
Pause.
Yeah.
They got their ass beat by Geno Smith. I don't want to hear nothing that you talk about Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. That lot of issues there. A lot of issues in Denver. Even now, Nathaniel Hackett's even admitting that, yeah, maybe I'm having some issues making some decisions in real time.
He's freezing up under the pressure, man. Them lights come on.
I'm telling you, there's concern in that front office about the decision that they made. We'll continue with more from you in the NFL next.
Bart and Han.